One of the things that everyone in this room has in common is that we are all tempted. But the thing that's different about all of us is that we're all tempted in different ways and by different things. In James, it is said that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And we spend a great deal of time trying to overcome our temptations, and often we do overcome them. But whenever one temptation is overcome, there's always another that will come and take its place. As Paul said, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." Turn to the first chapter of Job. Job is a great example of all of the waves that will come of temptation and how they will always be changing. And once we overcome one, another one will come and take its place. In Job 1 in verse 8, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" Well, let's pause here a second for this verse. God said something about Job, that he was blameless and upright. So consider, what would God say about you? Would God say that you are blameless and upright? Or God, who knows your heart, will he know that you will easily fall away when you are tempted? So let's continue on in verse 9. "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." But also remember what we're told in 1 Corinthians. "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So God restricted what Satan was allowed to do to Job. He said, don't touch him, only his possessions. But Job does not sin. And so Satan comes back to God, but God again reminds him, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause." But Satan is here seeking to bring down this great servant of God. And so in chapter 2 and verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And so still, Job has not sinned. And so we'll come back to this, to what Job has said, in a little bit. But let's again pause and consider what Satan has said about Job. Satan has said, well, Job will fall when this happens, and he didn't. And he said again, Job will fall if you let me touch his person, but he still hasn't. But Satan is still looking for something that will bring down Job. But what would Satan say about us? Would he say, well, let me try something else? There's surely something that will happen. Does he have to search and try to find and keep on trying to bring us down? Or does he already know instantly, easily, what will bring us down? Our reputation with God matters, but also, what reputation do we have with Satan? Is he afraid of the power of God that is in us, or does he know how easily we could be brought down? So knowing this, it can be a little discouraging, knowing that we will always be tempted, and even more so, that our temptations could get worse. So think about what temptations you have in your life: arrogance, selfishness, pride, envy. And how can you get that out of your life? It's always possible to just stop. It's always the response to that is, well, it's not that easy. But really, it is that easy. You can just stop. You can cut yourself off from those things that are causing you to sin. You can unplug the computer. You can block sites that have tags that cause you to be tempted. You can avoid locations that bring out the worst in you. And you can seek help from others. Look around this room, and I really do mean that. Look around this room and find that person that you have always wanted to get to know better, but you haven't yet. Find that one person that is a fellow Christian that you don't know. And then consider this. That person loves you more than anyone else that is outside of this room. There's no one that loves you more than another Christian does, except God. And so if we remember that, we should be able to rely on each other, because if we aren't turning to each other for help whenever we love one another, who can we turn to? And further, who are we associating ourselves with? Where are these temptations coming from? Often these temptations are from our own friends. And so if we're trying to get out of temptation, we have to remove that from our life. So if you can unplug the computer or block those things that are causing you to be tempted, you can also remove those friends that are causing you to be tempted. Yes, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to bring those people to God. But if they're bringing us down, then bad company can corrupt good morals. And they can often have the opposite effect on us. We should always be striving to help these people, but we also have to know our own limits. And if we're being tempted and falling, we have to get away from that. But let us also remember that let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Temptation, desire, brings sin, which brings death. And as said before, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We so often fall short, even though we have been saved, and we've, in Hebrews 6, as it says, have tasted the heavenly gift. So if we think that we stand, we need to pay attention to that, because not only can we fall, but it's more likely that we fall because we're being arrogant about our position. Even Job, the righteous man that he was, fell after a time. He didn't fall once his possessions were taken away. He didn't fall once his own person was taken, but he fell once the devil persisted and his own friends came and told him to curse God as his wife had. And so he had lasted so long, but eventually he fell. In Job 42, though, consider what he says. In verse 1, Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, 'Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?' Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, 'I will question you, and you shall answer me.' I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." So Job repented of this his sin. And if we fall to temptation, we must be able to turn out of it. And so there are two options. We can either continue in this sin, or, as Job did, we can repent and turn out of it. We can be the person that God speaks highly of and says, "Consider my servant. He's upright, and in all the earth there is none like him." Or we can be the one that God knows is going to fall away very easily. We can be the one that Satan thinks that it's going to be trouble to bring down, or we can be the one that Satan very easily knows how to bring us down. And as said before, knowing that temptation will come can be scary. But at the same time, we should remember that after being told to take heed lest we fall, we are told that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. There is always a way of escape. We just have to find it. Often we tell ourselves that we can't, but God says you can. There is a way. And that's really what Satan wants us to believe, that we can't get out of it. But if we have that mindset, we won't get out of it. But we can if we rely on those around us and turn to the Scriptures. For Christians, we're told that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we should, as Simon is told, repent, therefore, of this your sin and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. If we're sinking in sin and struggling with this temptation continually, then how are we to be lights in the world and the salt of the earth? If us ourselves, we can't turn to God and turn away from the devil and from temptations, how can we expect to help others turn from that? It's sort of how in Matthew it says, judge not that you be not judged, and then continues to tell you to remove what's in your own eye before you try to remove it from your brother's eye. We should be able to help others, but first we have to help ourselves. So if you're struggling with temptation, why are you struggling? Are you struggling because you've given up and you're just letting yourself continue and allowing yourself to be around these things that are tempting you? And if not, then what can you do to get away from that? Do you need to cut it off? Do you need to have others help you? Because, like I said before, there's hundreds of people in this congregation, and they will all be more than happy to help you. Because there is a way of escape that is promised. But even though this way of escape is promised, tomorrow is not promised. So, if you are struggling with temptation, tomorrow might not be here for you to get out of it. So you need to get out of it today. Start looking at these things and start looking at how you can get away from it. Because if you continue in it, you could be lost. Turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, which I referenced earlier, talks about our forgiveness after we sin again. In Hebrews 6, in verse 4, the scripture reads, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." This morning, whenever we sang the song and the words were, "That by his stripes I am healed, and by his blood I can kneel," he was crucified for us, that we might have a way out of it. And if we're sinning, we have a way to come back, but if we continue in that sin, it is impossible to renew us to repentance, because we crucify again for ourselves the Son of God. And we're telling him that that sacrifice wasn't important to us, that even though he came and he died for us, that we're going to continue in this sin. It's spitting in the face of your God to say, "You came and you died for me, but I'm going to continue in this sin." There's a way to get out of it. And so, as I said before, there's really just two options. You can either turn out of it, or you can be the person that you ought to be. Tomorrow might be too late. We might not be here. And then you will be in a sad state that you cannot come back. So don't let the opportunity pass you by. If you're struggling with temptation, examine your own life even today and be able to turn away from it and come back to the Lord that you know. And we always give the opportunity for the invitation at the end of the sermon, and whenever two people speak, at the end of both of them. But even now, if you're not a Christian and you've been struggling with temptation, you can come forward now. There's nothing stopping you. And in fact, everyone in this room would be more than happy to help you with whatever condition you are in. And so remember that, as God said, there is always a way of escape that we may be able to bear temptation.